This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Anybody got a plan C? From APM, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Midday Update for Friday, December 21st, 2012. Today, we're going to be talking about the not-so-happy news from Washington, also cars that can monitor your heart, and the desperate measures a few soccer teams in Greece are taking. It's all coming up on the Marketplace Midday Update.
Balance your life with dollar signs. Tune into Marketplace Money this weekend for a look at the issues affecting your wallet. Whether it's investing, renting an apartment, or sending your kid off to college, we'll help you navigate.
Well, the big story this morning is that House Speaker John Boehner did not have the support within his own party to pass what was known as Plan B, which would have prevented some of the tax increases that are part of the fiscal cliff. Now the Speaker says it's up to the Senate to work with the President to avoid the fiscal cliff. Mark Zandi is Chief Economist with Moody's Analytics, and he joins me now to discuss. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, so Speaker Boehner just said that some of his members, the Republican members of the House, did not want to be perceived as raising taxes, which is why they didn't support his Plan B. Is that what happened here?
Well, I guess there are a lot of narratives, but that's certainly one very plausible narrative. But the bottom line is taxes are going up on some Americans. That's just going to happen.
That happens because of the fiscal cliff. I mean, they go up on everybody, right?
By definition, under current law, tax rates will go up on everybody on January 1st. So Congress, the president have to come together and figure out how to lower tax rates on some Americans.
Well, so what happens now? I mean, do the Senate and President Obama get together and put together something that could make it through the House? Is that even possible?
Yeah, I think it's possible. I think that sounds like the most reasonable narrative at this point. The Senate, Republican Mitch McConnell, leader Mitch McConnell, and Harry Reid get together and get a bill together that gets through the Senate, and they send it to the House, and hopefully that gets through the House.
You think that something can be done before the fiscal cliff at the end of the year?
I'm skeptical. My sense is that this will probably have to go into next year, and we'll probably have to see some turmoil in the financial markets. So getting a whiff of that today in the stock market to generate the political will necessary to get these folks to sign on the dotted line.
And just for people out there who are listening to this and want to know what it means if we're going to go over the fiscal cliff for a few days, how would that impact ordinary Americans?
It wouldn't. I don't think it'd have a big impact. I think stock investors would start to grow nervous. They start to discount the possibility, the real possibility that the folks in Washington are going to really botch this. But it wouldn't really have any impact until later in the month when people's withholding schedules actually change. And even then, it's possible that the Treasury Department decides to freeze withholding schedules under the logic that they'll get a deal and they don't want tax rates to go up.
Mark Zandi, Chief Economist with Moody's Analytics, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Well, the National Rifle Association is holding a news conference this morning, exactly a week after the tragic school shooting in Newtown, Connecticut. As Marketplace's David Gura reports, the NRA's response to this shooting appears to be a little different than usual.
We can piece together the NRA's public relations playbook.
After past tragedies, the NRA always says the same thing.
UCLA law professor Adam Winkler is the author of Gunfight, The Battle Over the Right to Bear Arms in America.
Now is not the time to think about legislation. Now is the time to think about the victims of this horrendous crime.
But this time, we haven't heard that. NRA spokesmen haven't been on TV and the radio, and Winkler says they haven't been on Facebook and Twitter either.
They know that anything they say right now will hurt the cause of gun rights and only lead to more anger and frustration on the part of the people.
Don Hadermarkle is a political science professor at the University of Kansas, and he says the NRA's silence is unusual, and so is its decision to hold a news conference.
I actually expect they will say something different than they normally say.
Because, Hadermarkle says, this attack on elementary school children was different. In Washington, I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
Well, if you ask me, one of the coolest developments in car technology in recent years is that video monitor some cars have that shows you what's behind the car when you're backing up so you don't hit it. But that is nothing compared to this. Ford, Mercedes-Benz, and Lexus are testing out some new technology that would let your car track your stress level and blood sugar while you're driving. Here's our senior business correspondent, Bob Moon.
Seatbelt, check. Fuel gauge, check. Heart monitor? Heart monitor? That's just one of the new technologies that car makers are experimenting with. Ford technician Jeff Greenberg says the car of the future could be equipped to keep track of you.
A sensor in the steering wheel that measures your galvanic skin response, basically how sweaty your palms are. We can put sensors in the seatbelt, so we can actually monitor how rapidly you're breathing.
Based on what your car decides, he says, your cell phone might not ring through just at the moment you're going through sensory overload and heavy traffic. The trick to having your car second-guess your driving abilities is figuring out what's helpful or could just be more distracting. Rebecca Lindland is an industry analyst for IHS Automotive. She and her colleagues were recently invited to drive a new Mercedes-Benz with a coffee cup warning light to indicate that you might be drowsy.
First, we didn't know if it was telling us to go to the nearest Starbucks or what it really meant.
Most of the current technology is based on cameras and radar that watch the road. But these new experiments with biometric sensors take things to a whole new level. When I asked Ford's Jeff Greenberg if it could go as far as stopping a car if it sensed, say, a heart attack, he stressed the new data won't be used to diagnose your condition.
They're not designed as medical-grade sensors. You know, we are not going to turn the car into an FDA-certified medical device.
Analyst Rebecca Lindland wonders if prospective car buyers will be attracted or put off by systems that go too far.
Nobody goes in looking for a car that takes your pulse, you know.
Even Ford's own advertising is already treading lightly when it comes to presenting your car as a nag.
If the system thinks you're getting tired, it gives you a gentle suggestion that it might be time to stop and take a break. If you keep going, it gets more insistent. Okay, I get it. I'm going to stop.
Ford's Jeff Greenberg says this is the future, eventually, but he promises that designers are focused on being helpful, not invasive. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
The Census Bureau has released its latest population estimates, which tell us which states are growing the fastest. Arizona and Florida remain in the top 10, with growth just over 1%. Nevada is number 6. And the top two are places where the recession has been almost non-existent, the Government Job Center of Washington, D.C., and North Dakota, which is in the middle of an oil boom. Both of those places are growing faster than 2%.
Marketplace covers the world of economics. Are you ready for some Freakonomics? We're partnering with the team that writes about the hidden side of everything for a regular Marketplace Freakonomics story, podcast, and more. Just go to FreakonomicsRadio.com.
Well, there is another end-of-year deadline that could cause some economic trouble. The Longshoremen's Union is in heated contract negotiations with 14 ports along the East Coast and the Gulf Coast. And if an agreement is not reached by December 30th, there could be a big port strike. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith reports.
At issue are the bonuses longshoremen get based on the amount of cargo they unload. U.S. port operators want to cap those bonuses, which often top $10,000 a year.
We are looking at a shipping cliff if they don't settle.
Harley Shaken is a labor economist at UC Berkeley. He says nearly half of the cargo shipped to and from the U.S. goes through these ports.
So it has a much wider set of economic implications. You're talking about a lot of stores without things to sell and a lot of factories that aren't able to export.
But unions are under pressure not to give too much these days, says Gary Chason, professor of labor relations at Clark University.
The union movement has just done well in an election, but in hard times as we're facing now, the union still has to prove that it's an effective representative.
Just weeks ago, striking clerks shut down ports in Los Angeles and Long Beach for 8 days. Berkeley's Harley Shaken says their union managed to wrangle a favorable deal. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
There's a new feature on Facebook. It'll charge a dollar to send a message to someone you're not friends with. Marketplace's Queena Kim reports.
Right now, if a stranger sends you a message through Facebook, it lands in your spam box. But this new feature changes that. Rebecca Lieb is an analyst at the Altimeter Group. She says charging to send direct messages isn't a new business model. The business networking site LinkedIn offers the feature to premium or paid subscribers. But she says,
LinkedIn is seen and primarily used as a business networking social network, whereas Facebook is more about people's private lives.
That's not to say that people don't use Facebook to make business contacts. More and more they do. But Lieb says perception is everything. And whenever Facebook tries to introduce outsiders and businesses to their friend network, it tends to court controversy.
I think Facebook risks being perceived as violating people's privacy.
That's probably why Facebook is treading carefully here. During the test period, users can only receive one message a week that's been paid for. I'm Queenie Kim for Marketplace.
Greece is heading into its sixth straight year of recession. The economy is set to shrink another 4% in 2013, and unemployment there is 26%. Now, sometimes those numbers are hard to wrap your head around, which brings us to one example of the tough economy in Greece that is easy to understand. Two soccer teams are so cash-strapped, they are turning to some unusual sponsors to make ends meet. Joining us with the details is the BBC's Mark Lowen in Athens. Good morning.
Hi, Jeremy.
So one of the soccer teams is going to be sponsored by a brothel?
Yes, exactly. In tough times, who else to turn to but Villa Erotica? This is the brothel in Larissa, a central Greek city here. And when the local amateur football team there fell on hard times, they were short of any sponsorship. And so the local madam, Sula Alavridou, stepped in. She runs the Villa Erotica, and she gave the team a few thousand euros in return for them wearing bright pink football tops now with Villa Erotica emblazoned on the back. So the team has a colourful new backer. The reaction in the city is not all so positive. The local football union has banned the team from wearing these bright pink brothel logo tops in the professional matches, although they are still allowed Villa Erotica just in the corner of the tops.
And Mark, this team is not the only one with an unusual sponsor. I read there's another one that's got a funeral parlor behind them.
Yeah, in the next door town, in fact, in Tricola, it is an undertaker who has given his local football team a new lease of life. The team now have to wear not pink, but black, and emblazoned on the center of their football shirts is not the logo of a brothel, but a big purple cross. Now, the local union is quite opposed to that. They say it's blasphemous. So you have players trying to cover up the cross with bits of black masking tape, which invariably peel off during the game. So it's all slightly strange. One of the players for the team is Haris Bakoyanis, and he told me that he's not ashamed of the new sponsor. In fact, he says he's proud of being sponsored by the new funeral parlor.
The most important is that our opponents have fear of us because of the cross. Actually, I like it. And we are famous now, I suppose.
So they're happy that I guess the opposing team would be scared of them. Mark, I mean, I guess the upside of all of this is that these teams get to continue to play even at a time of steep cuts.
Yeah, the upside for the teams is that they continue to play. The upside for the businesses is that they get a little bit more custom for the undertaker and the madam, indeed. I think all of this shows just how desperate Greek sport is now. Funding has been slashed at an amateur and national level. And remember, this is a country that just 8 years ago hosted the Olympics and were crowned football champions of Europe. And now just look how far the country has fallen, that they're having to turn to desperate measures to survive.
The BBC's Mark Lowen in Athens for us. Thanks, Mark.
Pleasure.
And finally to Canada, where someone brought a reindeer to the offices of the Toronto Star newspaper to spread a little Christmas cheer. The problem is that is not all Ivy the reindeer spread. According to some tweets from a number of staffers, she left a few presents on her visit, including one in the editor-in-chief's office. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson, and this is the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.